ready.
There he is. I'll go ahead and call us to order. Regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on August 12th. If the audience would join the board in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Public comment number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. I don't see anybody move towards the mic. Other reports. Presentation of the 2014 Urban Renewal Application from the City of Collins. Leanne Harder. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Morning.
Mayor, how you doing?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
Missing Wayne today?
Yep, Wayne's out today.
Thing without him, is it?
Nothing ever is without Wayne.
Never is. Well, I want to thank you for letting me come here and talk with you. I know you got a handful of these requests you're going to go through, and it's only fitting that Collins is the first because we are the most important city in Story County. This request is based on three projects that we're working on, and of course, if you know anything about Collins, which you guys do, we are constantly working under that three-ring circus mentality, constantly having things going on, and a lot of these things are coming to a head and should make for a major transformation over the next couple of years here. But the three areas I want to talk to you about today are storm sewer rehab, water line upgrade, and a Main Street revitalization initiative we're working on. And just to kind of remind myself, I have as a additional slide up here just where your policies are gearing towards. A, transportation infrastructure enhancement, that's a pretty major component of what I'm going to talk to you about today. And, of course, the Main Street and Town Center revitalization portion. I think those are the two biggest areas of emphasis. But if I had to make it stretch, I can promise you I could stretch it to all four if I need to justify what we're doing here. Storm sewer rehab, the request that you guys have been submitted was $40,000. And let me give you a quick oversight as to what that looks like. I don't know if you've been through Collins when it's raining, but it is. Our founding fathers did not build that place on the best location on earth. In fact, they picked two scenic rivers to put it on, and when it rains hard, it runs right through town. And if you know anything about water, you know that you can't stop water. You can only manage it. And, you know, we've had plans on the board since, well, I went back and dusted off some old plans in our public works room from 78 and 82 addressing this issue, and it was never addressed, and now we're trying to address it. And so we've gone through great expense to employ engineers to help us map out ways we can alleviate some of the problems, especially in low to moderate income areas of the town. And the whole idea is to expedite the water flow through town so it gets through quicker, does less property damage, disrupts less transportation services, emergency services, and to be honest with you, has less of a disruption on commerce and schools and things like that. If you look at the project there, and there's multiple components to this project, but this is the area that we focused on for the CDBG grant we submitted. And it consists of several parts, not just trying to fix some of the homes there, because there's some property owners we're going to regrade, but also upgrading some culverts, replacing streets. There's a Missouri crossing I think we're going to install, a number of things. And the idea is this area here is one of the most flooded areas that we have. But the problem is water comes into town, and it all comes from a specific farmer's property that doesn't claim responsibility for it, and I won't get into that. But as it comes into town, about 70% of the water gets clogged up along this waterway. And we have water issues on the other part of town, but if we can alleviate this part of the stormwater, we think it's going to have an impact on the other part. And we've been working on this for a couple of years with the engineers. We feel pretty good about where we're at. And like I said, it's long overdue to have it. But this is a visual conceptual map that the engineers put together for us. Any questions on what we're going? I can go through it step by step, but you probably don't necessarily need that, do you?
Brett, I want to, and maybe this is a question to be answered later, I want to understand how this fits into the drainage district that, as I recall, on the drainage district that runs through Collins, that was one of those that we considered having go back to the town, but it doesn't meet the minimum thresholds in terms of percentage of the drainage district within Collins. Is that accurate?
Well, we don't. No, we're just slightly below.
But how does this tie into that drainage district? Because ultimately all the water that flows through Collins flows into that drainage district, right?
Yeah, okay. Sure. And off the top of my head, I don't have a – there's a map out there to tell you exactly where the tile runs through.
Okay.
I don't have an overlay for you. I'm sorry. I didn't anticipate that question.
Right.
But definitely Collins is just short. We are addressing a major issue, and our tile does need upgraded.
Yep.
But that's, you guys control that right now. So the cost estimate for this project, initial cost estimates were a lot higher, but we're focused on a smaller area. And the cost estimate put together by our engineers was $475,000. This includes culverts, road repairs, equipment purchases, equipment rental, survey work, engineering design, labor, and all other costs associated with the project. Pretty comprehensive. What we're doing, it's a little bit different than a lot of communities are to save money on this, is we actually have the technical know-how in our public works department to do the majority of the work ourselves. So we don't have to contract this out. And we've worked with CDBG to secure a grant that would cover half of this. $237,500 is what the grant award is.
That's been awarded. Okay.
Now, in saying that, we're required to provide the match. Now, of course, CDBG doesn't care where the match comes from. We just have to provide the match. And trying to make the most of our resources, part of that match is through equipment purchases, which we've already made. Now, can that equipment be used for things other than stormwater repair? Well, yeah. You buy a $100,000 backhoe, I'm not going to use it just for stormwater and then put it in the barn and never use it again. We're going to get multiple uses out of that. But on the same note, it does count towards our match. We've already financed a $115,000 purchase for that. The plan is to rent a skid loader, to purchase culverts. The design work on this alone was $118,000. And as long as we are doing our part to make the contribution on our end, CDBG satisfied with that kind of contribution. We've already put some money back in last budget and this year's budget to help allocate for this. But we're looking, we got roughly a $40,000 mark that we'd like to get a little help covering. Now, the total county contribution for this particular project is less than 10%. I know that you guys would like to see the city contribute part of it, and we've been pretty active in finding other funding sources for this, and we've been pretty creative on how we can continue our match, but there's a little gap, and we're hoping the county can help us out with it. I think it's a very worthwhile project. It's long overdue.
But you think you've identified, by my calculation, $82,500 in city funding that helps get you all the way to that?
We will cover the $82,500.
Yep.
And that'll either be through city fund or cost management, or we'll get there. I'm not worried about that, but that $40,000 is just that last little swallow we could use a little help with.
Okay.
Any other questions about this particular project? Okay, great. We'll move on. And just so you know, the importance of it, it's the infrastructure needs for the community. It creates an environmental crisis for residents in the area if we don't address the issue. Flood management is important for emergency response needs. And, of course, if you're trying to promote a community, it's tough to do that when we're 3 feet underwater. So this is a pretty high priority to us. No questions? Water main upgrades. Okay, this is an entirely different breed of cat because until this year, this project was not on our plate. As you know, the DOT has come through and they are replacing that viaduct along Highway 65. And as they do that, it has caused a ripple effect of other things that we need to do. If you haven't been there, they've got the majority of the road poured from First Street all the way up as far as they're going. And they are working on the grade work for the viaduct. Now, I think that'll be, 3 or 4 weeks, you're going to see dramatic change there. But it's already making a big difference. The problem is they lowered that entire road 14 feet. And the problem that we have, being the community, is that we are required to foot the bill for all the extras, including the water main. Now, when they lowered that road, our water lines, instead of being 5-6 feet underground, are now 2 feet. So we can't. That's not a standard we can accept, because obviously your pipes are freezing, nobody have water. We had to lower them by necessity. And that bill is pretty expensive, because when they came in there, they had to order the parts from Missouri. They had to dig them up. They had to – all the work that goes into replacing water lines, obviously. And it includes new street crossing, new piping, hydrants, that type of thing. Now, there's one part of a project we already had calculated in, and the idea was to expand the project up past the local bar all the way, so we'd have one nice, beautiful road all the way through town. But we had to back off and abandon that part of the project because this water line came up. And to be honest with you, it was more expensive than the road would have been to finish. We did finish off the dead ends and take them all the way out, which just made sense. But because we've had to change these plans, the cost has gone up. New designs we had to add into it. We had to foot the bill for that. That was $7,500. If you can see the picture there, you can see where the water lines are going to run, how they're flipped over to the other side of the road. And it looks nice. They did a good job. They just cost a lot of money. And so we've already put in quite the approximate cost that comes down to about $210,000 is what I've got figured. And we're going to work with the DOT to pay that back over a 5-year pay schedule. But I'll tell you, that's pretty darn tough when you know, your entire road fund has got to is tied up to pay back a project that you never anticipated ever having to pay for. And considering we just paid a massive amount of money, you know, $2.6 million is what our SRF debt is for our lagoons. I mean, our water fund is pretty tapped too. So any help we can get on a project like this makes a big difference. What we're looking for is we're asking the county to kick in another $40,000 to help us do this. And I know that there is a little bit of a precedent set. I know Zeering had some water line work done last year. I think that the fact that people have to have water, it's hard to sell your town on a, you know, if everybody's water pipes keep freezing on them. And like, this is something that we just didn't anticipate having to deal with. So the county contribution for this project, the county project is probably DOT project is total about $1.8 million. And we're looking for about 2% of the entire project. So it's pretty small peanuts compared to what's already going into the deal. Any questions on that?
Just one. So not the whole project, but just the water line project cost, this idea that this was a unforeseen circumstance having to do with the road, but you're estimating that's about $175,000.
That's correct, not including the engineering costs.
Not including the engineering costs.
Right. Okay. The original quote was $166,000, but they came back being a little higher than that. So
$175,000 plus the $7,500 in engineering.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And of course, it doesn't include our man hours of having to supervise the project and things. That's just straight out cost what we're quoted from other vendors. Any questions?
Nope, I'm good.
Phone right on through then. Okay, Main Street revitalization, and this is a slightly different breed of cat from the other two. And we're looking for a smaller amount because, once again, we're trying to leverage other funds. If you look at the pictures there, we've got a pretty blighted number of dwellings along our main street that we've slowly been trying to remodel and renovate and fix up and things like this. And this building here specifically was a pretty dilapidated building until it was purchased by Midwest Insurance. And they put a new roof on it and actually a new facade. But the interior of the building, they have no intention to deal with. They just did that to shore up the building to provide better support for the satellite office that they have there, which they want to keep open and they want to support. They've got a satellite office here. They've got a satellite office in Maxwell. They've been a pretty good partner to small communities. They really have. And they're very, very willing to work with us to do anything we want to do to make the property better. In saying that, the entire inside of the building is just a wreck. And what we've got a couple different ideas on the table, but right now the prevalent one is to make this the permanent home of our wellness center. And we always knew the place we're at is going to be a temporary deal. We always knew we had a 5-year lease on it. It's been a great experience with us. And I'm not saying we wouldn't continue that deal, but on the same note, while I'm still around in office, and I have a shelf life like all of us do, I want to make sure that this thing is viable and it's going to be there for a long, long time. And I put a lot of time into this thing. I've got Greg Schluter here, another councilman, who's put a lot of time into this thing. We want to see its long-term viability long after I'm gone. And I don't care how much business you do and how much people like it. If you don't have a roof to put over it, it makes it really tough to keep rolling. And I think this could be our solution because Midwest Insurance is very anxious to work with us. And once again, they're a great partner for small communities. The idea is to renovate the space, and it would add to this overall Main Street revitalization project we're working on. And the partnership would be Midwest Insurance Corporation, which, in my opinion, is – anytime you can take a municipality and a local corporation and bring them together and work for a greater good, I think it's definitely a positive. The request contingency is based upon an award we're working on from the Wellmark Foundation. And I submitted a letter of interest to them, and we were invited to put in a full application. And I'd say it looks promising. It's at least a 50-50 deal. As I say that, I'll probably get a letter tomorrow telling me to get lost or something. I better not jinx myself. But it looks good right now, and I should realistically know about this next week or two. But to get that Wellmark Foundation grant or to secure it, you've got a set number of months to come up with your matching portion. And we would have probably until middle of August, till December 15th, to come up with our portion. Now, some of that money I can say I've either secured or I know I will secure because I already have avenues of approach to it. But I do have a gap in there as well, and that comes down to the $10,000. It may come out that either one of two things happens in a week or two. Either we have to pull the application because Wellmark didn't follow through for us, or we would have to come through and come up with a different plan of attack on how to deal with it to where that $10,000 is still this big of the whole project, because I'm not looking for the county to foot the whole bill. We're just looking for the county to help shore up loose ends on the deal. And if you can, like I said, look over the explanation a little bit you've got in front of you, Midwest Insurance has already made quite an investment in the building. So it looks promising that they're going to continue on, and I've already talked to John over there, who's the guy in charge, the president. He was very considerate with the idea that, hey, Midwest would probably continue contributing a little bit if we knew it was just going to get you over the hump. And if everybody just contributes a little bit to get us over the hump, pretty soon you've got a, you know, pretty strong ladder to climb that hump with. So that's kind of what we're looking at.
Brett, how does this compare in size to the current wellness center?
It's actually a little larger, which is a good thing. It's a better access because it's lower to the ground, so it's easier handicapped access, which makes it more ADA compliant. And it should be a lot cheaper to heat because the ceilings are lower, and it should be more compliant in a lot of ways as far as being more fiscally responsible. I think it'll be a good thing.
And you think there are some positive outcomes for the existing wellness center in terms of how that space would continue? We don't want to go to something where we rob Peter to pay Paul and we move a wellness center that's doing really, really well across the street and now we have another empty space.
Well, and one of the things we've talked with about the current owner, we've talked to him about, because he has no use for the space. The only issues we've had with them in the past would be some of the vibrations and things like that. But the space has been remodeled to the point to where another business can come in there. And to be honest with you, there's several businesses who've talked about it. We've even had a brief conversations with him about breaking the place up, which would be perfect. Having a multiplex, I guess, but a place where you can put several vendors in a small office area space, like a chiropractor or a, you know, we've got one gal who's renting some space from us across the street that we renovated that building with, and she, as a photography studio, she's trying to get up and going, and she's doing pretty well with it, but I think she's kind of trying to see where the city's going with some things before she makes a big commitment to really get this thing rolling. So I feel like it could be converted into other commercial endeavors pretty easily.
And did I understand you right that if the Wellmark grant doesn't come through, it could mean that you would pull this application to the county, or it could mean you would come back with a different plan of attack to get something done?
Means I will be scrambling.
Yeah. And we'll know that before we have to make a decision.
I hope so, because you don't make a decision until probably September or October, right? Yeah, I will know about that Wellmark grant before the end of August. I can tell you that for sure. We were told mid-August when we would know. I'm just flipping through slides now, unless you have more questions.
I don't. I appreciate how aggressive you've been in Collins, and like a lot of what I see down there, and appreciate these applications. We'll see where we go. Oh, who owns this building? That's the other question I had.
Midwest Insurance
owns the building. Okay.
And you know, I know that there's limitations on using this funding for, you know, but the improvements we would make with it wouldn't necessarily be permanent fixtures of that building. They'd be things we can pick up and walk out the door with if we had to, you know. So it's the city would retain ownership of them. The only other thing I would say is you made a comment about all the things that are going good Collins. A lot of things have happened in Collins over the last couple of years, I believe, are almost a chain reaction. You know, a number of years ago when I first got in there, people kept talking about how the town was dying, but now people are constantly saying what's next. And one of the best proofs of that ideology is you go look at our library and how they got a local donation for a guy ponied up $18,000. They bought the building, renovated that whole thing with grants and fundraising. And I can tell you right now, I'd put our library up against anybody's in the county. In fact, our numbers, our circulation numbers are better than anybody's in the county. That's just one example. You look at some other things going on around the area, our school, everything. I mean, there's a lot of positives going on there. And I think that if we just continue that momentum with projects like this and people see that transformation, it's just going to add to bigger and better things. So,
what's the status on your fire station?
Well, we got that USDA grant. Of course, you guys weren't able to help us out last year. It's massively difficult to go through the bureaucracy of the USDA because there was basically an engineering contract that our engineers had to fill out that was 97 pages long. Okay, and it took them a long time to go through this thing and fill it, and now it's been put before the I know it shouldn't take forever, but it's been put in front of the USDA, and I think they're given their last rubber stamp of approval. And right now, then we'll go to the design phase. The only thing that we're dealing with, that we're wrestling with, is if we want to put that in place where the current location place is, or the old co-op right next, basically across the street, that is for sale. And right now, we are negotiating with those individuals about seeing what they can do for us. And I don't want to give too many details because we're, you know, I don't want to blow it for ourselves because we're trying to put ourselves in a good position. But I guess some conceptual ideas would be to, you know, use part of that space for a fire department and then maybe try to add another softball field there or a soccer field or something. You know, right now, one of our big issues, we host the softball and baseball fields for the district. If we can add another softball field, then we can actually start having tournaments there. And that would expand more people coming in there, and it would add to some beautification of the town, and it would allow more parking and things. So that's just one of the ideas out there. But or taking some of the buildings right now, I've got a local vet who is looking for a place to put another satellite office, and they would like to have a place where they could basically bring cattle. Well, there's no, they don't have any place. We're a central location for everything they do. And so some of that space maybe could be considered for something like that too. So we're hopeful some things will go well, and that would have a chain reaction impact if we were to go that direction. So long story short, I don't know. We'll know soon. Hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll have that all shored up.
Okay. Any other questions, gentlemen?
Big month.
Okay.
Thank you. Great.
Thank you very much.
Next, we have consideration of minutes from 7:29 and 8:05.
I move approval of both.
Second that. Any additions or corrections? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The minutes have been approved. Personnel actions?
I move approval.
Second that. Any additions? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Those have been approved. Consideration of claims? Swallow hard and make the motion.
All right. I move approval of claims.
I'll second it. Anything else? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. Those have been approved. Consent agenda, we need to add road closures 1511 and 1512.
Move approval with a noted change.
Second. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Toot? Aye. The consent agenda was approved. No public hearing items. Additional items. Consideration of the preliminary subdivision plat of the Natty subdivision located on certain lands under the ownership of Orson Natty, located in Section 36 of Milford Township. Charlie DeSalle. Morning, Charlie.
Hi, Charlie.
Good.
As you'd mentioned, this is a consideration of the preliminary plat for the Natty subdivision, the property owner being Orson Natty. Location of this subdivision, it's an area of land located northwest of the city of Nevada. It's approximately 1 mile north along County Road S14. It's on the west side of the road. Area that we're looking at, it's a little over 34 acres. It's currently zoned AR, agricultural residential. The property is classified as agricultural for assessment purposes currently, and the development plan for the county does designate this property as rural residential. Does have some natural resource areas included in it. As we had mentioned, it is within 2 miles of the city of Nevada. Property that we're looking at in the yellow hashed area here, this is County Road S14, 620th Avenue right there. This is part of the Boswell subdivision, if you'll recall. I think we did that just a few years ago here. This application is to consider a major subdivision plat of one current lot into 7 lots and 4 outlots. The applicant also did submit a letter requesting a waiver to allow the access easements to be gravel rather than paved. However, as access easements are not roads, paving standards do not apply, and thus the waiver was not necessary. We just did want to note that. Just looking at some pictures that were taken here last November, and Leanne actually took these. I'm not 100% sure to where they're all located, but I'll just kind of go through them, and it'll show you the kind of the general area that we're looking at, kind of show some of the slopes on the land and some of the current land use in there. If you look down here, this kind of will show there is some floodplain on this property. None of the development lots are proposed to be located in the floodplain, but you can see where that slopes down into Indian Creek there. This right here is actually where the access easement that will come off of S14 will come into the property. It just kind of shows you the width and some of the elevations.
Where does that come off of S14?
I will show you here in a second. Well, actually, let me go back real quick to that. So I'll show you on the plat, but that's not going to. Actually comes in right here at this point. You can't really see it because the orange lines here that depict the parcel lines are a little bit thicker, but there's about 40 feet in between these two lines right here, and there's an additional 10-foot easement located on these two lots right here to make for that 50 feet. But let me get back there. Again, that shows. And that's, again, this is all that easement right here, that about 40 feet in between the two lots. And then the next one, I believe, shows coming off of S14, so you can see where that comes in off the top of the property line. Subtractors here for that house that was currently, or I think that's built now, but at the time was being built there on that lot. And then this is actually lot 7. This is the lot that would be to the southwest on the plat. It's kind of a it's a larger lot, just kind of a remnant, I guess, of the area to the west of Indian Creek that's not located in the floodplain. So the subdivision is being reviewed as a preliminary subdivision plat. The Planning and Zoning Commission has provided a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. They do that on the preliminary plat. They will not do that on the final plat. The final plat will come forward with a resolution at some point in the future once the applicant has worked out all the details of that. And as we had mentioned, the City of Nevada is within 2 miles. They do have review jurisdiction over the subdivision plat, and I believe in talking with Sean Cole, with the City of Nevada, I believe that they are looking at a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting in early September regarding this application. But with the City of Nevada having a review, more or less what it comes down to is that the subdivision plat has to be submitted to the recorder's office once it's finalized with about 6 different attachments, one of which will be the county resolution, another one of which would be the city resolution. We did note that because of the date the applicant first initiated work on this plat, which was actually probably about 2 years ago now, the staff report that we did submit does review the plat in conformance with former regulations that were set forth in Chapter 6 of the Land Development Regulations, so the regulations that were done so before we did the codification process. So there is a lot of things in this subdivision that if it were to be proposed today would not be allowed, but nonetheless we did change a few of those regulations, so we have to review it under the previous regulations. Quick, just pointing out the Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation. They did recommend approval to the Board of Supervisors and directed staff to schedule review by you today. The conditions that they did place on that approval were to look at the plat. There's a few corrections they wanted made to indicate access to Lot 7 by either a culvert or elevated road. There are plat notes that associated with this plat that does indicate what that is going to be. They did want a correction of the single lane access road and accesses that are going to be used, an approved emergency turnaround, and the approval coming from the fire chief of the City of Nevada. To show that the access easements are measured from the boundaries as if they were public easements, and to widen Lot D. And actually, I believe the widening, what the Planning and Zoning Commission wanted to or was getting at, was the widening of the stormwater or the stream easement that goes through the property. When you look at the stream on the plat, you can see it meanders in every direction along that, and typically we require 50 feet from the center line of the stream to be dedicated for an easement in case conservation ever needs to get in there and do anything with the stream. And because of that, Mike Cox did ask for just a few altercations to that easement, and the applicant has complied with that, and I have showed Mike the new plat, and he is okay with the changes that have been made. Lastly, was to add a plan to mitigate the loss of native prairie grasses and trees. The plat here, I just kind of took a quick screenshot of the most recent plat. You can see that access easement that comes in off of S14 here. You got lot 1, 2, and 3, lot 4, 5, and 6. You can kind of see on the plat here, but there is a what we consider a turning T hammerhead style turnaround on there. The easement does show where that is going to be. The outlots here will be sold with the corresponding lots, but the outlots are all located in the floodplain. The floodplain boundary kind of follows the boundary between those two. That stream easement, you can kind of see here the stream. You can see the easement on both sides of that stream. A little bit more so when we go to the next one. This is that lot 7. It's a long, narrow lot all right in here. And again, you can see the stream, how it does meander in every direction going through this property, and the easement associated with that, and the outlot being the area that's located in the floodplain. And one of the reasons we did have that outlot located, or the floodplain area designated as an outlot, is because with outlots, we can issue zoning permits because outlots are meant to be preserved for open space or reserved for future subdivisions. This one will obviously be open space, so there will be no zoning permits that will be able to be issued inside that floodplain area.
Go back and show me the access to lot 7.
Lot 7, actually, it'll be down in this area right here. They don't actually indicate where it will be, but there is a plat note that was put on the plat. And what does it say exactly? says any driveway constructed in Lot 7 through the two floodplain zone areas must be built up. So they're saying that if there is a driveway, well, there will be a driveway that will be put in there at some point, but it will need to be built above elevation and get a floodplain permit. But there is that cemetery that's down here, and then the access, again, it comes off of, I believe that's 220th Street down here, and it will come off of that. Looking at the proposal for the tree and native grass restoration, Mr. Netty did provide an agreement, more or less, that does say that any removal of the trees or native grasses must be done so within Story County regulations. And then he did provide an area that if there are more than, I think, 10% of the trees removed from any lots, and there are quite a few trees on these lots, that they'll need to be replanted in other areas. And he did outline a few areas where they can be replanted, but mostly on the west edges of lots 4, 5, and 6, and then the east edges of lots A, B, and C, and those were those three western lots along the floodplain there, so pretty much right on the boundary of the floodplain. And again, Planning and Zoning Commission recommendation, I won't go over that again. Your four alternatives that were included in the staff report I've listed on the screen here above, and I guess at this point, if there's any questions of the board, I'd be happy to answer them. We did get some stuff from the Planning and Zoning Commission that went into their recommendation, but we've received nothing over the phone or anything to that nature. But a few of the conditions that were listed from the Planning and Zoning Commission had to do with public comment and just some concerns that they had.
And he's been working on this for a couple of years, you said?
Yeah, the whole planning, I would say, has started probably a couple of years ago, and we did actually receive the application last winter, and we've just been working through a lot of changes through the Planning and Zoning Commission before we got to this point. So, and I know the applicant is here. If you have any questions on any of the particulars, he might be able to help you out with them.
Anything you want to add to this?
I don't think
I've
said it at all.
Okay. All right. Any other questions for Charlie?
I don't have any questions for Charlie. How's we've got Eldon Boswell here. How is the Boswell development going out there?
They're all sold.
They're all sold.
I know we've probably issued of the, how many lots was it together? Seven? Seven, and I know I think we've issued permits for four of them at least now, so.
Okay. All right. I would move option one, that we accept the recommendation of the Planning and Zoning Commission and approve the preliminary subdivision plat of the Natty subdivision with the conditions as put forth in sub 09-13.
I'll second that. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Toot. Aye. That's been approved. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Charlie.
Liaison assignments and committee meeting updates.
Pass.
Short without Wayne today. I'm going to pass. Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on this agenda. The board may not take any action on the comments due to the requirements of the open meeting law, but may do so in the future. Not seeing anybody moving towards the mic. Any announcements?
Rick? Pass.
Pass. Motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
We're adjourned.